It is a beautiful Lord's Day. As the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Amen. It has been a challenging couple of months. I would say all summer has been pretty challenging for many of us in different ways, and especially the last couple of weeks, been a challenge. And so I promise this morning not to be too long-winded. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen on that, but there we go. I'm surprised I didn't hear Jim back there saying amen. I don't have a lot to say this morning. That doesn't mean I don't have anything. I do have something to say. And I think what I want to share this morning, otherwise I wouldn't, is very important to us always. But for some reason, especially in moments like these, I got a kick out of it on Friday. I got the best text from Jim Birdwell. And he doesn't know I'm going to say this, but I'm going to anyway. But he made a comment in the text to me about the ceremony and how the service went well, very encouraging. And then at the end of the text, he said, "And I didn't even look at my watch once." I needed that. I needed that on Friday. And he had texted me about little after noon, and I hadn't seen the text right away. Well, he was 10 feet from me when I had a moment, so I'm looking at my phone, and he had texted that, and it did my heart well. I needed to laugh, and so that was great. So no watching the clocks this morning. Short lesson, so you can't watch that clock up there. We need to delight in God. Really, we need to delight in Him. God needs to be, I know He's our delight, but He needs to be more of our delight. His words need to be a delight to us. And that's the thought that I want to leave with us this morning in our lesson. And it's not anything, the idea this morning that I want to hang the lesson on is not anything original to me. I didn't come up with this. I actually got it from a book. Eugene Peterson wrote a book called Eat This Book about spiritual reading. And he had a really a thought that I had not heard it said in that way, and that's what I want to share. Also, in talking with a preacher friend, he had written an article on it, had some of this same idea. So that's where I get it. This isn't original to me. So I just want to throw that out there to you. But we do need to delight in God, and we need to delight in His Word. I know most of us grew up with animals. I had animals. A lot of you have them today, dogs and cats. You ever watch a dog eat? It's pretty entertaining sometimes when you watch that. We have a little schnauzer. It was Sophie, a little black schnauzer. And man, she can go to town when she eats. I mean, she eats and she gets into it. And I know when we've given bones to our dogs before, that as a child and also Sophie, she just listen to them. You ever listen to your dog when they eat? They're making all kinds of noise. And I mean, they just go after it. They seem to really be enjoying their food. I've been around some people like that before that enjoy their food too. Won't say they're like dogs, but I know some that will eat and enjoy that, and you can even hear them while they're enjoying their food. It's a delight. Let's face it. Food is one of the pleasures to life, to you and I. And even to animals. Listen to a cat. A cat will, after they're done eating, they get a little tired and they will purr. They will make that noise, you know, that soft purring sound. And how about a lion? You know, a lion, after it kills its prey, what does it do? It doesn't roar really loud. What it does after it's delighting in it, it's enjoying it. And have you ever heard that low, low growl of a lion? I mean, there's nothing like it. It's so deep. and it's real distinctive. What does that? What does all these things, this situation, have in common? And what I think it is it's their way of expressing a deep satisfaction. A deep satisfaction for one of the delights again in that life and in enjoying that. I want to share a few passages. We'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 31. The focus in this lesson is not to look at the context here. I want to look at the words, certain words here. And I want you to keep in mind this idea of delighting in God and His ways, in that deep satisfaction. In Isaiah 31, the people are told that their help is not in a nation. God has said that throughout history. The nations are not where you're really going to find your help. It's not going to be in Egypt. It's not going to be in any powerful, not going to be in Rome. It's going to be in me. Your help is in me. And isn't that always true? Where is our true help? It is God. That is where we go. That is where we find our help. But in chapter 31 of Isaiah in verse 4, it says, "For thus says the Lord to me." Now hold on to this verse right here. "As the lion or the young lion growls." And this is the emphasis right here that I want to point out. "As it growls over his prey, against which a band of shepherds is called out, will not be terrified at their voice, nor disturbed at their noise, so will the Lord of hosts come down and wage war on Mount Zion and on its hill." But notice, "as the lion or young lion growls over its prey." Now go to chapter 38. You might underline that verse too if you want. If you like to underline. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 14. Depending on your translation, it reads a little bit different, saying the same thing. "Like a swallow, like a crane, so I twitter. I moan like a dove." And you've heard doves before. They make that noise that they make. "I moan like a dove. My eyes look wistfully to the heights. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security." Okay, you got those two verses. Now go back to Psalm 1, and we know this psalm pretty well. Ed Burns began our class Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to be here. He's doing a class on discipleship. Very well prepared, very well studied, and he will give you food for thought and memory verses. So you need to be there for your memory verses. But Psalm 1, I want to read this to you. Notice the deep satisfaction of the psalmist. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Here it is. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." I'm wondering why I'm sharing that verse. It's very interesting, and this is where the idea of the lesson comes from Eugene Peterson's book. Those passages that I shared with you about the lion and about the dove, about the noise that they make, the growling of the lion, is the same word used in Psalm 1. The lion, as it is enjoying its food, it's the idea of meditation. Now that's a graphic illustration to me. It helps me understand. And it's because of the meditation on God that the psalmist was blessed. That was his delight. That low, deep growl of the lion, that is his meditation. And so as I was working through this week, I thought, well, what do you growl over? What is our delight? What is our meditation? Now, we know what it should be. And I hope to encourage us to focus on this area of our life this morning. I have laid awake at night quite a bit lately. And I'm sure many of you have as well. And what do we do in those moments? Sometimes we pray. That's what I do. I like to pray in those moments. Sometimes we might think about work. You ever had those nights? It's just, I cannot get anything. Your mind is racing. You're thinking about work. You're thinking about the house. You're just thinking. Or maybe you just can't sleep. I want to encourage you, not only those moments, but especially those moments when you're up, to meditate. Like the lion, as it puts everything into its food. Watch the lion. He uses his mouth. He uses his teeth. He uses his tongue. He uses his stomach. He doesn't just use one part. He uses it all. And that's the thought and idea of our meditation. That we put God's thoughts in our minds and hearts, and it affects our wills. It affects who we are and who we become. One of the things I like to do, as I said, is pray, like Ephesians 4:6, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And He hears, because the next verse tells us He is our peace. He will be our peace. Because we are praying and we are thinking upon Him. He's our delight. And we need to delight in Him. This week I memorized one verse, and it had to be a short one. I just needed a verse. Psalm 4:4. You might want to go back and read this one. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your hearts upon your bed and be still. And that's what I want us to do. Spend time meditating on God's Word and just being still. Now, all this speed reading stuff that we read today, that's not going to help our meditation. That's not the idea of meditation. Evelyn Wood's School of Speed Reading won't help here. But James Sire has a book, How to Read Slowly. That's more of the idea. Enjoyment. Our delight. I have three verses, and I'm done. And you might want to write these down. These are verses that I have spent some time reflecting on, and I think they'll be good to all of us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And there's much to this that we can think about Christ. Delighting in God is delighting who He is, delighting in what He has promised, the gift that He has given us in His Son. That's why we're here. We meditate on these things. Part of the Lord's Supper, we should be meditating on these things. But it reads this way, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. Why did He do that? Well, it tells us, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds we are healed. There's something to meditate on for the rest of our life. By the wounds of Jesus, we have the healing that we have. We have the riches of God's blessings, the riches of His mercy, the riches of His grace. Like I told the teens this morning, He paid it all or He didn't pay it at all. We know He paid it all. And we rejoice in that. Amen. He gave His all. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18. Peter said it this way, for Christ also died for sins once for all. It didn't have to die multiple times. It's one sacrifice. The just for the unjust. Why? In order that He might bring us to God. There it is. He is going to bring us to God. And that was part of the purpose of His life, of His very death. That He would bring us to God Himself in heaven, having been put to death in the flesh, but He was made alive in the Spirit. And I'll close with this one because I think it's fitting for the title of Delighting in God. Psalm 34, verse 8. You can memorize this one. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That is this morning's lesson. And we will have an invitation. Ken will lead us in a song. And whatever the desires you might have this morning, maybe it's you're struggling, you need prayers. Maybe you're ready at this time to respond in your faith to Jesus. Be baptized into union with Him. This is a perfect moment for that. Maybe you need our prayers, and we will pray for you. Whatever your needs are, will you come as we stand, as we sing?